Again, welcome back. We watch stuff 129. I am Jeremy, and the crystal clear voice you're going to hear on the other end is Mr. Shahid. What's going on, Mr. Bougie?
Nothing much. I hope everyone appreciates the upgrade. I care so much about the podcast. I'm like, you know what? Let me get one of those fancy smancy Yeti microphones that everyone has. And so far, so good.
So is that going to cost you like one whole dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? Or?
Yeah, it was like 100. So.
Oh, that's not bad at all then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, the headset I'm using when I bought it was 75 bucks. So, so cool. Great way to start. Let's go right into it, because this is the wrestling portion. You guys, as I say always, if you're not here for wrestling, well, fast forward, all right? This last Monday, Raw 25, I know Kevin and Chris talked about it on Stunker and Audio, but since I didn't get invited to do the show, and I don't think you did, now we get to talk about it. So, what'd you think?
I think it peaked at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like, it started great and just was, I mean, honestly, it was just boring. And considering it was the 25th anniversary, it did not feel special. Like, really. It felt kind of like any quote-unquote milestone thing when they bring the same old people there. And, like, the 10th anniversary, I know the 10th anniversary show felt a lot special. Even the 20th one felt special. This one just felt like it was just, I don't know. It felt weird. It didn't feel special. And I think the dual venue thing, I was laughing at all the people at the Manhattan Center. Like, because part of me, I guess I would feel bad at certain section. But then it's kind of like you see the Brock Lesnar guy and you see all these, you know, jackass fans like, I'm going to spend $800 there. And it's kind of like you see three women. So it's like those hardcore fans anyway. Somebody made a joke saying they put the worst of worst there to keep them away from the Brooklyn show.
Yeah, I understand the joke, obviously. But I kind of side with those guys. There was no attempt made to make like the Manhattan part special at all. I mean, they didn't even get like Roman Reigns versus The Miz or any of that stuff. I mean, I know Miz showed up, which was cool. I mean, you know, The Miz, I'll get that in a second, but The Miz is just great now. And I was going to say awesome, but come on. And then, but they really got nothing. And then to find out, like, the dark matches they got were cruiserweight matches that were just 2 minutes of them running around the ring. Like, there was no real match at all. It was just them doing moves, and it was over. Or I think in one case it didn't even end. Or the match didn't even end. They just stopped it because they were going to something else. That's just weird. And I honestly thought they probably, and they're not going to do this because of revenue, obviously. It would have been cool just to do the show from the Manhattan Center. But as a business move, it's suicide. I mean, you just sold out Barclays. I believe that was a sellout. And then you just sold out Manhattan Center with $800 tickets. So,
yeah, I think the biggest issue was not only it was the 25th anniversary show, it's the go-home show to the Royal Rumble.
I guess. You know, I mean, yeah, I know it was, but
I mean, it's kind of like you're trying to serve multiple masters and even, yeah, and especially it's like a case where it's still like a single more, I mean, like there's a few people from SmackDown showed up, but it's still like a single, you know, brand show.
Yeah.
And you got two venues, and you try to bring all the legends in, and you still trying to do all this other stuff. And it just felt kind of like, I remember people making jokes saying, why does women match have 3 seconds with two commercials? And then it's kind of like, you want to spend 5 minutes with the Brooklyn Brawler? Like, it seemed like it wasn't a lot of wrestling. It wasn't a lot of wrestling going on, honestly, with that whole show. And nostalgia only goes so far. We've been talking about the bad stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff. Like, the opening segment was awesome. It just shows how great Stone Cold is. He doesn't have to say a word. He's the most, like, you just realize how big a star he was. Like, and like you said before, he looked like he'd been working out and been, like, laying off the beer. Like, he looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah. I mean, he had, like, the tire, but he's also 50. Is he 51? Or just 50? I mean, it's a 50-year-old man, and he looks like he could still go. That was fantastic. Like, good for him, because I know he's got, like, health problems or whatever. You know, the neck, I mean, not, like, organs or anything like that. But Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Eric Nelson hit me up, and he's like, they didn't even let Stone Cold talk for 1 minute. And I'm like, dude, I don't really think he needed to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's he going to come out? Especially now, how the product is now. He doesn't fit. And I'm guessing that was a way of recognizing that. Because then, it's like I told you when we were watching, I was like, the careful camera angles. So whenever those middle fingers came up, boy, it was like, oh, he doesn't have hands. Okay.
Yeah, and like I also said before, that's the first time, and I'm like, we know Vince is old. That's the first time he like acknowledged that he's old.
Yes.
Because even as recently when he was on the SmackDown deal with the Kevin Owens stuff, he was still trying to be like, I'm a tough guy, Vince McMahon. I'm getting your face. I'm going to take bumps. And this one is like, you know, I don't hear so well. I'm an ARP. I got these health issues and yada, yada, yada. But Shane's still in shape. And it's kind of like you brought it up saying Shane went from like confident GM to the stooge son. And it just seemed weird. Like Shane just has the awesome facial expression whenever he gets dragged in by something Vince does. Like, I'm just here minding my business. Like, how did I get in this? And just seeing like, Vince is just so awesome here because he gets the cheers and the love out of nostalgia, and within like 30 seconds, he just get booed and get the asshole cheers like a snapper. That whole, you got me a GoFundMe, like a plaque. This is the best you guys can get me. Like, and the first thing I said when I saw, like, this is kind of cheap. So to hear Vince say the same thing gave me a laugh. I was like, this is your 25th show. This is the patriarch that started all this, and this is what you get him, a damn plaque.
I love the fact that they set up a GoFundMe. I mean, I know it's like it's not cool to be like a billionaire or whatever spending other people's money, but I think that's what made it funny.
Mm-hmm. The fact that rich ass Stephanie and rich ass Shane decided to go fund me to get a gift for their dad. It's just funny on so many levels. Like, it was hilarious. Like, the whole get up, and I know people made jokes about Vince not being able to take the stunner. He took it better than he used to take it in the 90s. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. Like, he was never like an athletic guy. He was like a muscle guy, and he was always clumsy. Shane's always been able to take it. And like I said, Stone Cold came out there. Everybody knew what was supposed to happen. Stephanie, she bounced out with the quickness. You didn't realize she was gone until she was gone. And it's not the 90s or 2000 anymore, so he can't stun her. So, yeah.
Well, and let's not forget Vince being Vince. When, you know, Shane gets the stunner, and then the best part of the stunner on Shane was you knew it was coming anyways, but the way Shane was just jumping around, like, that he had just won something, like he won Stone Cold's approval finally, then gets hit with it, and then as he's laying there, Vince and Austin are sharing a beer, or like parading around, and Vince pours his beer all over Shane. That cracked me up. Because you know that wasn't part of the script. That was just Vince being Vince. So yeah, I started laughing pretty good at that one. And then of course Vince gets stunned. And then I'm like, Shane, is he really going to do this again? Bam, gets hit again. And then that was it. And I guess they let there's an interview with Austin backstage afterwards. So you know they got to keep the stuff on the network or on the website.
Yeah, they actually do a lot of that stuff, actually, and some surprisingly good stuff that's like, you know, a lot of people probably miss because they only think about watching, even though WWE tends to get, like, their YouTube channel is extremely popular, apparently. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny, that was a great segment, and then it just dragged. Like, you see the same people you always seen, more or less, you know, you got the APA segment. And of course, you got the Million Dollar Man. I'm surprised to see MVP, and I'm surprised, like, you know, you, because one is kind of like he didn't leave on bad terms, but it was like he didn't really get mentioned ever since he left. So to see him pop up, like he was never really a Raw; he was always a SmackDown guy anyway. So to see him kind of show up out the blue to play cards with Jeff Hardy and Heath Slater and Rhino was just something.
Yeah.
You know,
did they really get the shaft in that the superstar shakeup? Because they were a real thing on SmackDown. Whether you like them or not doesn't matter. But they were a real thing on SmackDown, and then nothing. I mean, just nothing since, which is just too bad for them, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it's just like little things here and there. One, and I know we talked about it, wow, Charlotte is tall, Alexa Bliss is short. And you kind of know that, but you don't. I never really paid attention like how short Alexa Bliss is until they had that picture. Because it's like, I'm looking at it, it's like, she's look like damn Godzilla next to Alexa Bliss. Like, she just towered over her, but at least, yeah, by like a foot. And it makes sense because she's like 5 foot and Charlotte's almost 6 foot. So that's what a foot difference looks like.
What's funny is, I was wondering if she had heels or something on, and apparently she had some big boots on, which really made the difference even more pronounced. And it's like, guys, why you? And they also had a camera angle that almost looked like it was, the camera was down under Alexa shooting up, and I was like, wow, she does look, she looks maybe 2 feet taller than Alexa did, and I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, I knew something was up because when Ric Flair came in and Charlotte had like 2 inches on Rick, it's like, you know, Rick's not shrinking that much. So, but yeah, it was just, you know, they do stuff like that. And it was a funny visual. And of course, you got the two champs there. So, I mean, you had that. What was the other one? It was one that stood out. Oh, the one that was kind of random out of nowhere. The one with Mark Henry and the Godfather.
Okay. Mark Henry has openly talked about his wife and kids. And I know for the purpose of this segment we're supposed to forget that, but was he like, oh, Olivia, it was Olivia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Olivia, your name's Olivia, huh? He goes, yeah, man, Olivia, my wife. And I'm like, ah, no.
I think it's not necessarily the hitting, like, it's kind of like you wouldn't expect the Godfather to be married.
No,
like,
no, Mr. that's what I get, yeah.
So, and it's kind of, and it's like, I don't even know if it was kind of like he was hitting on her, just like thinking, oh, that's one of his, like, his main hoe or something. And just think about kind of like the Godfather starts off as the pimp, retires and runs a strip club, and then shows up like, oh, you know, like, and it's funny, like, it fed into the promo kind of like, you know, everyone gets older and settled down. Like, Mark Hamill's like, yeah, you know, I used to be sexual chocolate, but I don't do that anymore. As a long time ago, I got older and settled down. Oh, but what about you? Have you, you know, he wouldn't think the Godfather would be the man, because pimps, yeah, pimps normally don't settle down. So to see him like, oh, no, this is my wife, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, no, that's why I said, aw. Because if there's one guy that's not going to change, shouldn't it have been the Godfather? Even Val Venus got away from the porn star thing. Undertaker was all over the place. I understand he was Kama, he was Papa Shango, but then everyone remembers him as the Godfather. And that was him. And now he's married.
I mean, some pimps do get married. So I watched the documentary. I guess it's kind of like, even eventually savages put down their axes, as they say. So,
well, real quick, we're going to go off topic for a second. Have you watched Born Strong on Netflix? The documentary, it's about, okay, it follows the guy that plays the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, I forgot their names. But it's all powerlifting guys. They're all competing in the Arnold Classic, all right? Mark Henry is in this. And you just, as he's talking about, you know, he's talking about, like, with the strategy, what it takes, how you do this, and, you know, talking about these guys because they're athletes, you know, and that's what Mark Henry started as. I'm not saying he's not now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's talking, and I just went, man, WWE really missed the boat with him. Because I know he wasn't the greatest at first, so that's probably why, but the sexual chocolate thing, just how, I don't know if eloquent is too strong of a word, but as an ambassador, man, he would have been fantastic. And I know he's just signed that Legends deal, which good, because I don't know, man, he was so good in that, just talking about, you know, just talking about the stuff. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, I think chance, they kind
of, it's got some crazy shit in there.
Yeah.
Cuz those guys are all natural, just to make sure you know.
Yeah. I think they kind of came around like late with him. Like, his biggest thing was, one, they paid him all that money. He got hurt. then it's kind of like they were mad that they paid him all this money, so they tried to humiliate him to have him quit, and he never quit. And then it's kind of like you give him a push, he got hurt, a push, he got hurt. And then, like, that Hall of Pain stuff was just awesome. Mm-hmm. And then he got over with that, and then he gets hurt again. Like, his biggest thing was kind of, like, getting hurt at the wrong time when he finally got, you know, the recommendation or kind of, like, that notoriety. And then it's kind of, like, he does that bastard stuff now, and it's, like, when they give him a chance, he can still perform, like... I still remember the whole thing they had when he was pretending he was about to retire. He had the Salmon suit on, sad. And John Cena came out, and he's like, "I'm this good old country boy from Texas. You know, I've been, you know, world champion. I never had a WWE title like you had, you know, but it's okay," like that. And then he hits him with a World's Strongest Slam, like, "I still got plenty left in the tank." And he played that, like, I remember when we were doing the feet, like, we were doing the thread, and we were kind of like, at first we thought, like, yeah, it's just an angle. It's like, wow, is he really retiring? Like, he just sold it so well. It's like, it had you believing he's retiring. So when he bust out and hit him, it was like, wow. And even though no one thought he was going to win, everyone thought he should have won.
What I was going to say. He should have won.
Mm-hmm.
That was... When I think he was world champion at the time. When him and Big Show, they had their feud, and it was just those two animals just beating the bejesus out of each other. Or was it Sheamus? There was one where Mark Henry and whoever he was going against, I want to say Big Show, they were just battering each other.
Yeah, it was Big Show.
Okay, it was awesome. The crowd was going crazy. I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know. If people are going crazy for a Big Show match, let alone a Mark Henry match, you missed the boat on something then. Because
that was with those two, and then Daniel Bryan kind of slided in and getting the title. After that.
Yeah.
Now, I remember that because it's like, that's when they pushed Mark Henry to the moon right after, like, Christian had his stuff with Randy Orton. And yes. Then, like, Randy Orton, like, losing clean to Mark Henry. It was like, yeah, Mark Henry was having a run, and then he just got hurt. Like, he just had the suckiest luck when it came to injuries and timing.
And speaking of Randy Orton, so they're on Raw, there's a couple noticeable absences. Randy Orton wasn't on. All right. His wife was not pleased. And I kind of don't blame her because I know he's been a SmackDown guy, you know, for a while now. But then also, he was a SmackDown guy for, you know, he's been on SmackDown the whole time.
No, like, he was a SmackDown guy. Then he was on Raw, like, the whole Evolution thing. And it's like, yes. he had as many memorable moments on Raw and on SmackDown. Like, all the stuff with Evolution, all the stuff with Triple H, mm-hmm. The stuff when he was, like, in the Authority, feuding with John Cena, even the stuff with, like, Kofi Kingston, like, the stuff with Legacy. Like, he just
kicked
seemed like
Stephanie McMahon, remember? DDT didn't miss Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
Yes, the DDT. Yeah.
While Triple H was locked, was, like, you know, handcuffed to the ropes. Like, he's had far more memories on Raw than SmackDown. Like, SmackDown, his main stuff is the stuff with Christian, yeah. The stuff with Mark Henry. And then, like, his recent stuff now, like the Wyatts and, like, this year. But I always thought of him as a Raw guy more than a SmackDown guy. So, and considering he's one of their biggest stars of that era and really, like, behind Cena, the biggest one that's, like, as far as, like, legacy-wise, that's, like, still active. Yeah, him not being there was definitely noticeable. Like, we talked about the names. Like, we talked about, you know, Bret Hart and Batista and stuff. And now I'm saying, like, you know, Big Show wasn't there. Mick Foley wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And like, Lita was kind of like, she's the 1A to Trish Stratus, number one. Why wasn't she there? Was she busy? Are they beefing? Like, that one kind of stood out more than a lot of them when I thought about that.
Yeah, well, and they made a big deal because remember, Beth Phoenix is doing play-by-play for the mixed match challenge. She wasn't there. Which is weird because she had to be there on SmackDown, basically SmackDown.
I wondered about that. Like, is it because of? I'm guessing that Mixed Match Challenge stuff is live after SmackDown.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, you know, maybe she had to watch the kids because Edge is, you know, filming Vikings, and she couldn't be gone more than a day. I don't know, because that one definitely stood out, like her not being it. Because it's kind of like, you know, you got Kelly and Maryse and Michelle McCool. And one thing I noticed, and I remember somebody saying something, wow, if you were not blonde or, like, ethnic, you was kind of short because you just realized like there was a whole lot of blondes, like women wise in WWE, mm-hmm. that kind of like top spot. Like you think of Trish, you think of Kelly Kelly, you think of Tori Wilson, you think of Michelle McCool, you think of Maryse. And then even like the current ones now, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Natalya, like Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose. Like Vince loves his blondes.
There's I just lost my train of thought. It was two things. There's a very noticeable blonde that wasn't there, which didn't make sense because her husband was there. Sable. I mean,
she raising the kids. I doubt you'll see her. I doubt you won't see her until like a WrestleMania or when Brock retires. It's kind of like it's like the last time I remember seeing her was like at UFC, and like, you know, she doesn't like, she still looks good, but for her, you know, definitely for her age, but it's like I didn't expect to see her, to be perfectly honest.
I didn't expect it, but you would think they would. Because I know most of her stuff, though, minus the end, was her as just eye candy and sex, and just basically selling sex. So, you know, they can't really use a lot of footage of it, but it just seemed like a weird thing not to have her. And then I understand he wasn't there, but they kind of marginalized The Rock's involvement. We got what, him losing to Mankind, Jericho interrupting him,
and you got a few clips there and there. It's kind of like there's a lot of people. It's just you got so much stuff, and like you don't really have the time for it because it's kind of like you barely saw Bret Hart. I mean, like, just think about it. Like, and Bret Hart's not dead. And, like, Bret Hart was a big part of Raw before the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like they ignored. And it's kind of like,
well, he started part of the Attitude Era, if you think about it.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's funny where they were kind of like funny on how they played pre-Attitude Era stuff. Like, they showed a little stuff with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and, like, Waltman. They showed a few clips of Flair, you know, you see Yokozuna, a clip here and there, but they didn't really focus too much on it. It's like, basically, Raw was kind of like, we started, skip 3 years, Attitude Era, post-Attitude Era, and now. It's kind of like how they played it.
Yeah. Yeah, they just totally ignored, like, the beginning aspects of Raw. I mean, and I know everyone, I was reading people's comments about how a WWE Hall of Famer wasn't even there, who was in the first match on Raw. And I'm like, who? And like, Coco Beware. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I don't have anything against Coco Beware, but shut up.
But if it's like you dragging Ted DiBiase, I mean, you got the boogeyman there.
Ted DiBiase seems like him to be like, hey, Ted, you want to come out here? Yeah. He'll always be there.
But it's kind of like, you know, you got the boogeyman there. You can have Coco Beware. Like, I mean, I guess it's kind of like he is technically a Hall of Famer. Yeah. But it's kind of like you only have 3 hours, you got so many things, and yeah, quick thing before we move on from Raw. The DX stuff just seems so weird now. Because it's like frat boys going back to like the 20-year reunion still it's like old school.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, especially like, you know, it's goofy seeing Triple H and Shawn Michaels do it. It's sad seeing, like, Billy Gunn do it. It's like, why? Like, I'm glad. One thing I'll say, I am glad that X-Pac, like, looks like he's better. Like, he's in a better place. He's look like he's in great shape. And it's funny where he's still getting a 1-2-3 kid chance. even with all the DX stuff and the WCW stuff, it's like, yeah, that's what got him over with Raw. But, like, you know, like Shawn Michaels said, when we started this, you know, I was running the group, and now you run everything. And I am surprised that they mentioned Rick Rude in China, especially China.
I think you have to, though. I mean,
I can see Rick Rude. They've mentioned for the longest time.
Rude's in the Hall of Fame now, so he's okay again.
Yeah, but they always like kind of mention Rude, like, or show clips like that. It was like they didn't. You know, we talked about the stuff with China. Like, for a long time, it was kind of like, you know, she existed, but it's kind of like, you know, we know you know, but we'll never talk about it for reasons, because if you Google China and you don't have your safe search on, you may see certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, that same doesn't... Not that bad.
But.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, Sunny, more or less, and it's like, for like a long-ass time, every year, you had a woman on the cover of Playboy, and it's like, they were nude, like, you know, and it wasn't just Sable. You had Tori Wilson and China twice and Christy Hemme. Like, that was the thing. Who's going to get the, you know, the Playboy cover?
Yeah.
And
they
they
had entire segments on Raw about, hey, look who's going to be on the cover of Playboy this time.
The semi-main event of WrestleMania 20 was, people forget that, was the whole Playboy, was like, what was it? Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler or some nonsense like that. It was kind of like, it was some, it's been a couple of WrestleManias where the second to last match was women involved in Playboy.
Yeah, because it was always the come, it was always the, the come down match.
The cool down match. It's funny thinking that, like, it's been cases where Tori Wilson been far up in the card on WrestleMania than CM Punk ever was.
Well, there's maybe, you know, rumors. There may be reasons for that, so yeah, there's a reason she's not married to Billy Kidman anymore. So,
hey, it's called I'd Rather Date Alex Rodriguez.
Well,
for 5 years, like, who would you rather be with? No disrespect to Billy Kidman.
No. I know what you're getting at, and yeah, I never understood that, anyways. But then it's funny because you look at Billy Kidman now. And see, guys can be misogynistic against other guys, right? Or is it sexist against other guys? Eh, whatever. You looked at Billy Kidman way back then, and you're like, all right, he's got, like, that grungy, like, shithead thing going. All right, I can kind of see how a chick could be attracted to that. But then you see him now, and you're like, oh, yeah, I can definitely see how she's like, no, this is...
I mean...
This ain't never going to work out in the long term.
Honestly, most men don't age well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you gotta, I know. I saw DX.
You got to put, like, Triple H looks the way, like, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, dude, they put the work in. Like, if you don't put the work in, then you're going to look a certain way. You're going to look more like the Road Dogg, which is a regular middle-aged man, or like Michael P.S. Hayes, like a regular old man. You're not going to be, everybody's not going to be the Rock in their mid-40s with an 8-pack. Like, for what? It's like, if that's not your job, what are you in shape for once you hit a certain age?
That was one thing. DX is kind of an advertisement for not doing drugs, because I know Shawn Michaels is still keeping in decent shape, but dude, he's looking pretty haggard too, and we all know his struggles. Scott Hall, well documented, hey boy, he didn't look good either. Shawn Waltman looks okay for all the shit he's been through. I mean, suicide, drug abuse, all that stuff. He looks pretty good for the incredibly bad situation he put himself in. But, and then there's Triple H, who, unpopular opinion, needs to get rid of the beard, because that makes him look really old. But
he's old. Like,
he's only in his 40s.
That's not young.
Shut up.
I mean, that's, it's kind of like, you know, it ain't ancient, but it's like, once you pass, like, your mid-30s, I know Tom Brady's spoiling people because he's 40 years old, still winning MVPs, but it's like, you 37, 38, yeah, it's, stuff slows down. Like, Triple H, look at how me and Gene look. Look at how Vince look.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, and people say, oh, me and Gene looks. I'm like, me and Gene was Zebra, his 80s?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like, the thing with Mean Gene was Mean Gene looked old but never aged for like 30, 40 years. So when it finally kicked in, it's like, wow. It's like, yeah, Mean Gene looked the same from like 1977 to probably like 2002.
Yeah, it's also hair dye does a lot for you. Unless you're Eric Bischoff and you just went gray after getting your head shaved and never went back, so everyone just got used to it. But he still looks, he's in his 50s. He looks good.
Yeah, and it's funny how, like, he got one of the biggest pops. Like, people love some Eric Bischoff, which is just funny thinking about, like, why? And I guess it just shows, it's like, for all the negative stuff that was involved with him in WCW, he was an awesome Raw GM. Like, he was, I still, that 3-minute warning.
I love that.
That went with Billy and Chuck and him, because it's kind of like, I had no idea that was him. I had no idea that, like, that just came out of nowhere. Like, that one a few times, like, just shocked. I'm like, it was like a Scooby-Doo episode actually worked.
Mm-hmm. And to this day, people, well, we're still talking about it. To this day, people still talk about it. But I always liked the 3-minute warning thing. And, you know, both of those guys are gone now?
Yeah.
That's sad, man.
Yeah, like, that's another thing with Raw 25, like, yeah, Raw's been on for 25 years. I can remember when it first came on, and it's probably like a lot of people that were on that show are dead and been dead for a long-ass time. And at least, like, now it's kind of like the people that are passing away now are like they're passing away because they're old. Because we had a while, like, a good 7-8 years, people dropping, like, flies in their 30s and 40s.
There was, like one a month, I believe, for 2 years. 2 years, almost every month, there was a wrestler from that era dying for some reason. So
yeah, like, but it's old jokes. Like, you can go some of certain pay per views, you can go on there, and it's like, if it ain't Hulk Hogan here, bro, I was dead.
Okay, and this is the last thing we'll talk about on this one. But people were saying Hulk Hogan should be there, should have been there. Now, one, regardless of how you feel, he wasn't an integral part of Raw at any time.
No.
He was there for a little bit at, what, WrestleMania 18, but that's really it.
Yeah, like, when he came back, he was so... Yeah, like, when he really came back, he was, like, on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like and it was like, he was, by the time Raw was Raw, I don't even think he was in WWE. He wasn't even WWF anymore, I think, by the time, like, Raw started. And, like, he came back, he did his little thing with The Rock, and then he was, like, full-time. He was, like, SmackDown guy for the time he was there.
Yeah, Mr. America.
It's like... Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a time, I mean, when they want to bring back Hulk Hogan and whatever, but it's like, he didn't have to be there now. And, you know, it's funny, AJ Styles mentioning him and then that thing. And I mean, it fit because the whole thing with Mean Gene. It's just funny, like, somebody that Hulk Hogan probably would have never gave the time of day in his prime is now giving a shout out to Hulk Hogan.
Well, hell, he wouldn't do anything for Bret Hart.
Yeah,
Bret Hart
but
significantly bigger than AJ Styles. Yeah. So
one more thing, because you brought up before, Elias.
Okay, that was supposed. Apparently, that was supposed to be Samoa Joe's slot with John Cena.
Yeah. So, but not even that part. Not even the stuff they with Cena. One, he interacts with Chris Jericho. Jericho's there with his New Japan shirt, his New Japan look, and it's like, you know, Elias is getting a lot of love. And he got, oh, it's funny where it's kind of like you keep pushing somebody and have them keep doing what they're good at. The crowd just gravitates towards you if you got some talents. And it's, he looks like the son of Randy Savage and, what's his face? Sandow. Like, I just laugh looking at him. It's kind of like, you know, the gimmick seemed goofy when it first started. But he just kept on doing it and kept on doing it and just kept on and kept on and kept on. And, like, people still boo him because he goes out of the way to make people boo him. But, like, people like him. And it will be something if he's wrestling, like, I don't know. Because they keep saying, like, John Cena's going to wrestle The Undertaker at Mania. Like, that's the rumor.
Oh, kind of, you know what? We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, and I know, yeah, the less talk about that Undertaker promo, the better, because it's like, if I spay all that money, and like, you know, I'm going to bring out a shovel, and I'm going to take your soul, whoever it is, like, okay.
Like, Undertaker
cutting promos by himself is not really his thing anymore. Like, it just seems weird when he does it. So, but... Yeah, it's just funny, like, when I see him and I see Jason, like, the Jason Jordan one is kind of, like, happened by accident, at least it's smart if not, like, you know what, no one likes this guy, so let's just go with him being a heel, because he's, like, he's easily unlikable, and he's talented enough to have a good match in the ring with people. The Elias thing is just, it's just weird that it worked, but, like, it's the same thing where Braun Strowman's walking around, like, the new Steve Austin, clobbering Brock, like, throwing around Brock Lesnar like he's Rey Mysterio.
I know they're not going to, but, man...
They need to
give him the title. I mean, how can you justify him? I mean, Kane losing the match is obviously what they're probably going to go with, but where do you go after that, though? I mean, look at all the superhuman stuff Braun's been doing, And now we're just supposed to go, oh, okay. And then who's going to fight AJ Styles? I mean, I'm just throwing a name out there. So, I mean, my God, they wouldn't have him face Undertaker, would they? If Taker's having another match, do you do that?
I have the feeling, and I would not be surprised if the crowd leads them to having like a triple threat at Mania with Roman, Brock, and Braun. Because, you know, the Rumble's in Philly. And I remember the last time Roman won the Rumble in Philly. And it was like, it was not, like, you know how bad you got to be hated if it cost The Rock to get booed. And The Rock looking around like, what the hell did I just walk into? Like, yeah, this is not what I was going to sign in for. But I don't know. It's like he didn't lose the belt by act. He lost the belt for a reason to Miz. And yeah. It's kind of like getting set up for that. And I know it's kind of like they've been doing a good job of having him get ready for it. But, yeah, is he going to run a problem? Like, if Braun, the issue is, if Braun Strowman didn't exist, I think people wouldn't mind as much. Because it's kind of like, you know, Joe's hurt. It's really nobody else at that level. But it's like, you got Braun Strowman walking around like the most over babyface on Raw by like a lot. And the crowd loves him. They push him to the moon. They treating him like a damn monster. Yeah, that's going. If he doesn't win the belt at Rumble and Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble, that's going to be an ugly-ass sight. I mean, you take the bullet if you want. Because, like, you know what? It's a day. Let them boo. Life goes on. But that has a way of, like, affecting shows. Like, I remember the stuff we had with Daniel Bryan. And if it was just a one-night thing, that had been bad enough. But that one-night thing coalesced into, like, we ain't got a choice. Like, it the show got hijacked, so they put Daniel Bryan in the main event. Like, the crowds refused to get behind anybody else. And I could easily see that happen again. Like, because they want Braun to win. And they don't want Roman to win. So.
And in this case, it's their own fault. Because they've been bugging Braun to be the guy. But on. Like, talk about wrestling all the time, I guess. But the other thing is, I was listening to Observer Radio, and Meltzer said Miz is being pushed to be in a high-profile match at WrestleMania. Miz is a notoriously safe worker. Daniel Bryan had his little face-to-face again with him.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan also has been trying to get cleared and said if it's not WrestleMania, it's not going to happen. I have nothing but my own thought on this. And it's also Meltzer's fault for doing this, but he didn't say Daniel Bryan, but could that be where they're actually going to pay it off?
I told you how they felt about Miz, and you was kind of like poo-pooing. Like, he has his own TV show on USA. Like, that's a thing. Like, they love the Miz. Like, they've always had a, like, he does those Marine movies. He's always there. He's really injured. He does whatever they ask him to do. And it got to the point where management loves him. He wrestles safe. The fans love him. Like, if he had, it's funny, like, if he had the wrestling ability of some, like, Finn Balor or some, like, that level, he'd be, like, the most over heel in the company. Like, his wrestling skill is the only thing that's holding him back from being the man. Like, that's how good he is. And that's how good he's become. So, and they've been cheesing that stuff with Daniel Bryan and The Miz for, like, almost 2 years at this point. So, if you're going to do it, and trust me, who would you rather see? Daniel Bryan wrestling The Miz or Shane wrestling Daniel Bryan?
The Shane thing I know is what it seems like, but it's with the build, especially they've got not even 2 years. They've got years worth of footage of the two of them going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, they actually like each other. That's how good Miz is. Apparently, that whole thing with the blow-up on Talking Smack was real. Because Miz was saying he just let loose, and then, you know, Daniel couldn't do anything, so he just left, which is kind of a weird thing. But, it's one of those things where don't get your hopes up, stupid. Like, it's nothing was said. Just enjoy it. You know what? So.
I got the feeling they've been doing too much teasing to not have Daniel Bryan do something. Because guess what? If they were doing this and Daniel Bryan wasn't going to have a match, he'd just go home.
You'd think, like, yeah.
Because it's kind of like he doesn't need the money. And it's like you would think you get at the point where, you know what, don't tease me like this. And it's like, you get sooner or later, like, you just get super, like, he seemed like the type that would just get frustrated enough to, like, you know what, the hell with this. I'll just sit out, let my contract run out, and go on the indies. And it's not like they're going to sue him. And, like, they already got, like, all the stuff that went through with CM Punk, and that's with the fact that, like, a lot of people don't like CM Punk. They would get crucified, even though they're technically, like, in the right. They don't want to get, they don't want Daniel Bryan dying or getting hurt. Like, yeah. With all the stuff with CTE, concussion protocols, and it's like, that'd be a horrible look, especially with how they've handled injuries and all this stuff with Paige and everything. It's like, I can see why they had the feeling like they'd rather be safe than sorry. But if they feel like he can have a match or a fight or something like that, then go ahead and do it. My only concern would be that opens up a Pandora's box, because it's easy to say, let's, like, you know, I remember when people said when Shawn Michaels wrestled Triple H, it's like, oh, you know, this might just be one more match and they had a fight. And then next thing you know, Shawn Michaels is full-time. And at least it was like with him, he's healed, so it wasn't an issue. But it's like, you think just having one match with Miz at WrestleMania is just going to be enough? Like, okay, Daniel, you can go back to being GM and not wrestle anymore?
Yeah, unless he's willing to be like, I don't know. I understand what you're saying. I just wonder if it's like, all right, well, this is my final match or something, because he never even got, like, a final match. But I, for everything he's ever said, that's not what he wants. So, yeah, it's... I'm with you. I get it. And I just don't know, you know? Like... And, yeah. Anyways, we were talking about The Miz doing movies. The Oscar nominations. See, we're going to get off wrestling. The Oscar nominations came out. I will be honest, I haven't seen, I don't think, one of these movies. And one, and that includes the one, the only reason I want to talk about this, Get Out was nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Screenplay, Best Director. Am I missing anything?
I think it was nominated for four or five. You named the four big ones.
Yeah, so... Which really the only ones that count. The actor, director, writer, and picture are the only ones that really matter for people. But Get Out got nominated for an Academy Award. As much as I don't really care about these things, Get Out got nominated for an Academy Award. That's nuts. It's a horror movie, correct?
Yeah. It's a horror satire movie. Like, yeah. It's been a weird year for movies, like, as far as, like, who got nominated and who didn't get nominated. Because you look at kind of, like, Best Actor, you got Daniel Kaluuya that got nominated. He's not even 30 yet. You got the 22-year-old guy that's, what's that movie? Tell me by your name or something like that. Something like that.
Which apparently is borderline pedophilia from reading that thing.
I'm watching the previews. Well, I'm like, aren't you
Hollywood? Episode. So
I'm like, Arnie Hammer's a grown ass man, and this guy's like the character he's playing like a teenager. I'm like,
what do you expect?
I mean, it's kind of like in this atmosphere, it's foreign. We do stuff different. Like, you really want to bring a movie out like that in this atmosphere, and people won't have questions? But it's like, you have that, and of course, you got, like, you know, the Denzels and stuff. I was like, it's a year where Mary J. Blige gets nominated for supporting actress.
Okay, so I need to check out the Oscar nominations, because I didn't even know she was acting.
Yeah. Yes. Like, the singer Mary J. Blige. Like, and it's kind of like she got nominated for a Golden Globe, so it wasn't like some fluke thing where it's like, wow. And, of course, stuff relates to us. We all talking about, you know, how people poo-poo on comic movies and how they don't get respect. And we made the joke, like, how Suicide Squad didn't get, like, a sound editing or something like that. Didn't it win?
Yeah.
And normally comic movies get, like, you know, technical awards because they deserve it and everything like that. And every now and then, like, Heath Ledger got one for The Dark Knight. And the whole thing with the Oscars expanded from 5 to 10 movies is because The Dark Knight never didn't get nominated for, like, Best Movie. And people were like, this is BS. So, but, ever, you know, you've had that option, but no one's ever, like, gotten anything in, like, Best Movie, Best Director, or Screenplay. So the fact that Logan got nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay was, like, I know people talked about, like, it being a chance, but I didn't think it had a snowball's chance in hell of getting picked, because it's like, people still poo-poo comic movies. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kid stuff, and it's like man boys and man baby stuff. And we both enjoyed the movie. It's still probably my favorite movie that came out last year, even though it's hard watching that movie at certain points. The fact that it got nominated, like, I don't think it's going to win, but the fact they got nominated in the first place, and it's like, it shows where you can take these movies seriously. It's not just a whole laser beams and explosion stuff, or like man baby doing childhood juvenile fantasies. It's like, it can do the foo-foo, tea-sipping Oscar stuff, too. And, wow. We've come a long way from, you know, the Incredible Hulk and Blade and all that stuff, and Superman.
Well, I think one of the reasons that Wolverine would get adapted to is it's a Western. That's all that movie is a Western. And that's not, you know, not trying to put it down or anything either. But Hollywood loves their Westerns. That's why I wouldn't be surprised to see that Christian Bale movie get nominated for next year, even though it's coming out in January of this year, just because it's a Western. The one thing I noticed looking at the nominations, so apparently The Disaster Artist is a really good movie, and it won Golden Globes, but it didn't get anything for the Oscars?
Yeah.
Okay. It's always funny how that stuff works.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I made the joke, Casey Affleck picked the right year to get nominated, because had his movie come out this year, he'd be sitting at home next to James Franco wondering like, oh, you know, I don't even think I'm, because I don't even know if I'm going to show up or not. It's like, that shouldn't be a thing, because, like, you know, it's the role is the role, and you're supposed to, like, pick the best role. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you really, people, like, eyes are watching, and people are watching. It's like, that's the thing now, and people kind of roll their eyes. And the funny thing is, most of these people come out trying to defend this stuff, shut up. Like, you set yourself up for failure when you say these certain things, like, oh, it's just a witch hunt, and you can't even hug a woman. Like, if you know how to act, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I haven't followed the whole James Franco stuff. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but part of it is, we've talked about this when we were talking about the Harvey Weinstein stuff. I don't believe any of these frauds anyways. So the fact that all of them now, like a bunch of them are getting all up in arms and this and this, and if it's good enough to win like Best Picture at the Golden Globes and this and this and not the Oscars, why? Because of these
charges? I mean, to be perfectly fair, it's kind of like, Golden Globes doesn't always necessarily equate to Oscars. Like, Deadpool got nominated for Golden Globes and then get nominated for anything for the Oscars. It's like, you know, they tend to be more, because they have more categories, like, you know, best comedy, best drama, stuff like that. So that's a thing. So you can use that and see. I heard The Disaster Artist was great. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really comment one way or the other. It's part of it's kind of like, you know, it's unfair to punish somebody for that. But at the same time, it's like, the hell with them. Like, it's kind of like, I have sympathy. I don't got that much sympathy. It's like, it's not the whole thing. Like, it's not the whole thing. Like, he's caught jaywalking, or like, you know, he robbed a liquor store. It's like, especially the stuff that's happening with the gymnasts and, you know, all that stuff that just came out. It's like,
that one's worse than Penn State. I will say, I understand that their children are involved with Penn State. This one is worse, and it's the same thing all over again. Michigan State's entire one trustee said the president needs to go, and never mind.
And everybody was saying, nah, because she makes some money. Like, eventually, that now it's come like that, she's going to be gone, because, like, yeah.
She's supposedly resigning tomorrow, or Thursday, whenever this comes out.
Yeah, because it's like, but it's like, it's the same thing where people have excuses like, oh, maybe she did, maybe, you know, but what about this guy? I like him in this movie, so let's give him a second chance. And we didn't talk about with like the same stuff with, like, I briefed them on Enzo. Like, I don't know what he did or didn't, but the fact that, like, look at the people defend him. They sound like dirtbags. Like, oh, this bitch got drunk, and that she deserves to get this. I like seeing that, like, You like Enzo's promos that much that this the hill you're going to die on? Like, nah. Pick better battles to fight.
Well, some people complaining about Enzo. Oh, we said we were going to talk about this, but I saw Enzo got fired, and people are like, well, now they're going to fire him. He knew about this and didn't tell him. Yeah. They built their entire 205 Live around him without him telling, hey, guys, here's this little thing coming up. I don't blame him one bit for that. I don't know if he's guilty or not. Sure sounds like it. But the whole fact that, you know, how touchy WWE is, which is hilarious nowadays, that, you know, you can't do that. you've got to tell him. And the fact that he didn't, that's why he's out on his ass right now. And frankly, yeah, fuck him.
It says a lot that they felt strong enough to fire him, considering, like, Rich Swann stuff, like, confirmed we know what he did. Stuff. Yeah, like, it's confirmed, like, they suspended him, but they didn't fire him. And they had, and if they fired him, nobody would have, you know, batted an eye, because it's kind of like, yeah.
This ends up stuff like, weird, though, man, because now there's no charges, and him and the wife are back together, and
that happens. That,
yeah, it also, to me, it sounds like these are two people that just aren't good together, but they're not going to get away from each other. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, I don't know if you've ever known a couple like that, but you're like,
Yes, I have.
Okay. And that's what this one seems like. It's like, I don't know if they have good friends, and I love the tricky thing, but, man, if something like that already happened, nothing good's coming the next time. You know? So, just, it sucks, but what am I giving love advice for? But, yeah. it's just sad. So, oh well. Anyways, so Get Out got nominated for an Academy Award. The guy from Jordan, was his name Jordan Peele, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy from Key and Peele is going to be an Academy Award, is now an Academy Award nominated director. That's insane. And I'm not saying the movie's not good, but if you watch Key and Peele, the first thing that you would not have thought of was that guy's gonna get an Academy Award nomination.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thought that. When Get Out came out, people was like him? Like this came from, like this came from him? Like it was shot. I mean, but the same thing. Like Kobe Bryant had an animated short that got nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, is that why? All right, I saw a headline that Kobe should get ready for his big night. And I'm like, what? Okay, that makes sense then. What animated short did he do? I'm not familiar with this.
It's some basketball. Basketball related thing. It was something I didn't even hear about. It was like, wow. I mean, but hey, this has been a weird year for movies in general. When you see the stuff that's been nominated, the stuff that's made money, and like, you know, we kind of touched about like Jumanji's gonna have a sequel, and it's gonna come out wintertime 2019. It's like, you know what? We're going after Star Wars again. Like, that takes some balls.
Is The Rock gonna make another movie? 2019. That's next year. Holy crap. I'm not saying The Rock does drugs, but I'm saying he's got some help, man. Where do you find that countless energy at his age?
He sleeps 3 to 4 hours a day, as he says, and he's always working. Like, he's either working out in the gym or working from things. Like, I forgot all about this Rampage movie coming out, yes. So I saw previews for it. And it's like, this movie's coming out. He finished doing the Skyscraper movie that's coming out. He's got all this stuff that's just out, and it's funny, like, anybody surprised they're making a sequel to Jumanji considering how much money this one made? And the funny thing was, they were going to bring out the summer, and when they saw Test Light, when they saw, like, first clips, they're like, you know what, this will be a family movie, let's get everybody to see it, so let's bring it out during, like, winter break. And people like, Star Wars coming out? I was like, okay, well, when people are done watching Star Wars, they'll watch this. And the funny thing is, as much money as The Last Jedi made, a lot of his money got, like, siphoned off by Jumanji. Like, Jumanji affected Star Wars gross. And who would have thought that would be a thing? Like, Rock's biggest movie franchise would be this goofy-ass movie. Of all the stuff he's done, and he's done a lot of things, like, this movie. Like, It's almost like $800 million worldwide. Like, it's domestically, it's Sony's biggest movies besides the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. I keep forgetting that Sony's got used, well, has Spider-Man. Yeah. He's also, but isn't he also supposedly they delayed Fast and the Furious to make him and the Statham spinoff?
They said it was partially that, and it's like partially they wanted to get Justin Lin directed, so they had to wait on his schedule.
But that's not what Tyrese Gibson said.
Okay, you believe Tyrese if you want. See where that leads you in life.
You know what? That wasn't the reaction I was going for, but I think that's the better reaction. So, okay. Yeah, so I just, man, what a charm. I mean, I'm not going to say a charmed life because that insinuates that he's had everything given to him, but what a charmed life he's living now. I mean, he's the number one box office draw, the number one actor in the world. It's crazy. So,
yeah, like he started off like wrestling the Sultan.
Mm-hmm. This goof, the dumbass like haircut and the smile, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, crazy.
Yeah. Like, it just shows, and you think about him and Triple H, and like Triple H has had a blessed life himself, but it says a lot where they were two of the biggest stars in the Attitude Era, and when it gets to the point, like on Jimmy Fallon, Triple H is lip-singing a song that The Rock did.
Is that from Moana?
Moana, yes.
Oh, okay. I saw it. Like, I didn't recognize the name.
And I'm just thinking about like him, Stephanie, and the New Day, like are there, and like seeing Triple H and Stephanie like bob their heads to the New Day doing their thing. It's like that whole thing is just surreal. Just like life is funny when you think about that. Mm-hmm. Like thinking where Triple H started himself and how The Rock started. Seeing where they at now. Seeing the fact like. I think Triple H follows like 6 people on Instagram. Like, that's it. And like Stephanie, Vince, his trainer, The Rock, and like 2 other people. Like, the only wrestlers he follow, I think, is like The Rock. Out of everybody.
That's weird. I wonder why.
Yeah. And I remember seeing that. I was like, yeah, that is weird. Like, you know, he doesn't follow Cena or Stone Cold or Randy Orton. I don't even know if Shawn Michaels has an Instagram and something like that. But it's just seeing where they are and it's seeing the fact, like, you know, I would have thought the New Day had been, like, played out by now. I was like, no, they don't talk shows. They're still a thing. And I know we... And the mixed person challenge and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was laughing my ass off last night because it just reminds me like watching Wrestling Challenge, except they don't have jobbers. It's just like two people it's just two teams just like goofing off, having fun.
And that's the, all right, if you like get picky about it, it's kind of weird. I mean, you got super, like, Sami Zayn is like one of the most hated guys on SmackDown, teaming with one of the most beloved females on SmackDown, and like they're making a goof of it and they're happy to be with each other. Asuka and The Miz, which has turned out to be promo wise a pretty funny duo. I mean, Asuka's just speaking straight Japanese because now she doesn't speak English, okay, and Miz just goes, yeah. Just like looking at her, like he's enthused, he's into it, he understands what she's saying, like a comedy duo. And I'm like, what's going on here? Because this is working.
Yeah, like seeing that, and then I saw the stuff from like next week, seeing Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
Like one, seeing Braun Strowman like smile, even if it's like 2 seconds, it's like it's funny where everyone assumed like Nia Jax and Braun was going to be the team. So when Alexa was there with Braun, it's like, just off the size, because like Braun probably like 4 times her size, but like they work together because he's, you know, it's almost kind of like, yeah, you mess with me, I got this big monster that's going to do something, and Braun's like basically kind of like, you know, like whatever, but not like almost brushing her off, but like having like a little glimpse, like liking her, like, you know, this is my annoying little sister, but she's still my sister type thing. It's just funny where you have these teams that's together, and like, of course, you know, with Naomi and, you know, Jimmy Uso and Rusev and Lana, that makes sense. But who would have guessed Asuka and Miz?
Yeah.
Like, who would have thought of that? Or Carmella, like, it's funny where, like, the Carmella stuff when they were, like, first voting on who was going to be the guy and then be Big E, and then the skits they were doing, like, on YouTube and Twitter was hilarious. Like, Carmella's funny. And it's amazing where, like, right now, because, you know, Big Cass is hurt, out of those three, she's the one in the best place in the company right now. Like,
yeah. I mean, at least two of them got jobs still. But, yeah. And, boy, she's holding on to that case for dear life, too. They've almost kind of pushed that to the side. They mention every once in a while, oh, Carmella's the Money in the Bank winner. So, Charlotte this week, like, okay. But unless they're doing it on purpose to make us
forget. Yeah, because you got the Royal Rumble coming. Yeah, like, you got the Royal Rumble coming, and it's kind of like, so, how does that work? Whoever wins, they challenge their brand's champ?
Yeah, I think it works. They said rules are the same as the men's, so that's going to be the thing.
Because I always wonder, like, you know, who would, because I mean, before you got the pick, like how they used to do it, and I remember they've had before where it's like the big thing was like which champion they wanted to face.
Yeah.
Even when they had like brand splits, now I think they kind of keep it tied in, and now I know like between that and the fact that Stephanie's going to be. No commentary for that. Like,
how do you feel about that?
I'm laughing because it's kind of like, I know why people pissed off, and I don't blame them. I'm like, you know what? I want her to go all out, just be a prick, just like make jokes about people, tear them down. Because I know why she's doing it. She's always like glommed on to, like, you know, the women's revolution has been my thing. I'm a powerful woman. I want to see other powerful women like do this. But she's just so heavy-handed and obnoxious with it. It's easy. Like, even when Stephanie was a babyface, like SmackDown GM, it's easy to dislike her. I guess it's real easy. Like, you know, she does not make it hard to boo her, even when she was like likable. So I just think it's just like, I don't think she's, has she ever really done like announcing? No. Like, that's the thing is, yeah, that's the, like, she don't really have the voice for it. I know Vince ain't going to be screaming in the headset telling her, like, you know, you making mistakes. Because somebody made a joke saying he does that, and then 3 days later she going to put him in a home.
I saw some of the kids talking about how she's going to enter herself 30th and win. And I'm like, guys, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, happen. Like, I know people feel that way about McMahon's, and I know Triple H did that a couple of years ago, which was funny because he got cheered when he did it because people, that's how much people hated Roman Reigns. But I don't know, the rumors been if Asuka doesn't win it, that Ronda Rousey's gonna win it if she's in there. Yeah,
I have mixed feelings on that, but. Whatever.
I mean, you got a name. That's what they use names for.
Exactly.
So that's the point. And it's kind of like, it's curious where this year, I don't know who's, I know people assume Roman Reigns is going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if Nakamura won or like somebody just like, because they can always have Roman Reigns get a title shot.
I think you're on the right show from the betting odds have gone up that it's Daniel Bryan, which is just weird. But then, the one name I keep reading and keep seeing is good old Baron Corbin. Can you imagine that?
Oh, God.
You think they didn't like Roman Reigns?
No, I don't. No, I don't want to imagine that, honestly, because, no, why you?
Unless you know they do it where Baron Corbin wins, and then he like, puts up his WrestleMania shot and loses it because, you know, he lost some money in the bank. He blows his opportunities. If they want to stick with that, that'd be fine. But
I mean, it's funny where this show is kind of weird where you got the two tag title matches, which will probably be good. Both the world title matches are weird because you got the triple threat with Braun, Brock Lesnar and Kane, and like the fact that Kane's in a title match in 2018 is whatever. But then the other one, like, you got a handicap match with a title? Like, what kind of, like, I know it's a storyline thing. No one thinks that's weird. Or, like, no one thinks, like, that's, it's been a long time since they've done something like that where you had a three-man, like, you had a triple threat match and two people were, like, working together. Like, they've done it before, but they haven't done it in a long time.
I'm guessing they're going to do something funky because it's obvious Kane's there to take the loss. So
I'm talking about the other match.
Which one? Which one?
The AJ Styles Zayn Kevin Owens match.
Okay, yeah. I don't know about that one. I don't get it.
It's just so much noise. It's so much noise. I mean, I get the storyline. It's just so much noise around that where how AJ Styles, like, I can't see how AJ Styles wins. So are they going with like a Cole, are they going to be like Lay Cool and have Cole world champs with the men? And it's like, as you had all that stuff and like Shane was involved and Daniel Bryan was involved. And it's like, I'm getting screwed every week because y'all two can't work y'all shit out. Basically how it's been going, like Daniel Bryan and Shane got this something going on. So, you know, 1 week he loses to Kevin Owens and beats Sami Zayn. 1 week he beats Kevin Owens and loses to Sami Zayn. It's like, this is weird.
It's real weird. What was weird last night was that, all right, after a while it was a work, obviously, but that Kevin Owens thing to start off SmackDown where he just gave up quickly, I honestly thought he was hurt. Because that just seems so goofy that he would injure himself that fast and give up. And then at the end, he didn't pop up and attack AJ Styles like you expected. So he's hopping on his ankle. I'm like, all right, he's going to put it down. Then they're going to put the boots to him, right? And they never did. And so I'm thinking, is he really hurt? And I haven't seen anything.
I think they just sold it like it was just a work injury. But they kept going back over there. Like, he's out there a long time on this. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay, what kind of shitty doctors do they have in DC that couldn't get his ass back to the back?
What did they? Were they checking to make sure he had insurance? Like, what's going on? They're checking his coverage. Like, he's out there, and then AJ Styles going up there like beating him up some more. Which I got, and I like how Byron Saxton talked about, like, you know, the Royal Rumble's coming out. You take advantage of, like, taking this man out. And, like, Corey Graves was just, like, losing his mind. Like, what kind of sportsmanship is this? It's your world, like, this example your world champ is setting. And, like, he's right. But it's funny where Byron Saxton is kind of like, you know, this makes sense because you got to think about the future. And AJ Styles getting screwed. And even though it's like, AJ Styles was kind of a dick, but it was dick with a purpose. Like, he kind of was doing the smart thing. It wasn't necessarily the noble thing.
Yeah, and I've always been a proponent of dickhead AJ Styles anyways. When he was in TNA and he was cocky as hell, I mean, the guy calls himself phenomenal. That's a cocky move. So, you know, that's a heel move, if you will. So I'm always for that. But yeah, he was doing that. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. I mean, it's every man for themselves in these cases, but I don't know. We didn't get to it again, but
might as well get to one more thing before we go.
Yeah, should we just finally talk about this thing?
Yeah.
Michigan State's president did resign. Should have been fired, not resigned. Anyways. So the John Wick universe is expanding with a third movie finally getting underway. I think they said April they're going to start shooting. So it'll be out next year. Common's back. Lawrence Fishburne's back. Ruby Rose is back. And I asked around, like, the people who had seen it, and yeah, they said that it was never clear she died at the end. He just shot her, which I thought it was a pretty bad shot.
No, he stabbed in the damn... No. He didn't shot her. He stabbed her in the damn heart.
Oh, my God.
Like, through her...
So then no one knows what the hell's going on with that, but...
Yeah, like, he stabbed her through her hand. Like, you know, they was having the gunfight and the knife fight. he stabbed her through her hand and then through her heart and then did the whole sign language thing. And you see, like, her eyes, like, rolled, her head rolled to the sides and, like, her eyes don't close. I'm thinking, like, yeah, I know they didn't check for pulse or nothing. I thought it was pretty clear. Like, she dead, right? But, like, they never went back to it. I mean, it's kind of like, you don't see a body, so you can do what you want. And it's, like, Kami, you knew was alive because they kind of, like, left it open-ended, yeah, so you can see that. So I'm not surprised he's coming back. Of course,
plus,
Lawrence
really
Fishburne's coming
so
back.
You gotta bring him back.
But I was surprised, like, Ruby Rose is coming back because it's like, you know, not because she wasn't good in the role, but everyone's like, did she die? And I like that the villain is Hiroki Sanada from The Wolverine, and he was in Life. Like, it's funny where the first time I remember him was like he was the villain in Rush Hour 3. And that was a long time ago. Like, he's just become this guy, like, you know, this Japanese guy that's not Ken Watanabe that just pops up in movies and shows. Like, that came out and Last Samurai came out, and, like, he's just been constantly working. It's like, I don't know his name, but I know that guy. Like, he's become that guy. And I like him and stuff. So to see him as the villain, and, you know, it definitely fits. I'm wondering who else they'll get. Like, you know, people made, you know, like, comments like, you know, get Carrie Ann Moss in there or Hugo Weaving showing up, which would be like, get the Matrix band back together. Like, that would be something. But it's kind of like, it's funny with those movies, is almost, you know, fan fiction. Like, who can you get that Keanu Reeves knows, or that, like, it's an action star that would fit in that universe, considering this is like the last one they're going
to
do.
Yeah. And then what's the other funny part to that, or to add to that, is the fact that they're going to make the TV show the are they going to call it The Continental? Because it's basically, that's, yeah, it was The Continental, right? The hotel. Isn't that the John Wick universe, like, TV show's name? Did that lose you?
Yeah, like, one thing about the show being on Stars is the fact that, you know, it's an adult network, and they do not mind showing adult content. Like, anyone that's seen Spartacus, or seen Ash versus Evil Dead, or seen even American Gods knows, when it comes to adult things, they don't mind showing adult things. And it's kind of like, they don't mind violence, they don't mind gore, they go all out with that. So that's a good network to be on. They'll give them the money. The fact that the director and writer is going to be, you know, director of the first two movies is directing the first episode. The writer of the movie is, like, writing that. And the fact that they said, like, Keanu Reeves will show up sooner or later on that, it's like, yeah, they're not half-assing this.
Well, that's what I was getting at for the technical problem. Having, like, Carrie Ann Moss, Lawrence Fishburne, Hugo Weaving, all that, you know, it, and I know it's like the dream, whatever, but all these people have already shown they'll do TV. So you can even take some of these characters, like Lawrence Fishburne's on Blackish, right? So if he's on that, well, if he can afford to make this movie, I'm sure his contract would allow him to do this. So you could have characters from the movies, or introduce other, like, things. It's a whole world, which we saw at the end of John Wick 2. How many hired killers are out there? So they just had to find one,
like, you know, like Ian McShane,
yes,
definitely does TV. Like Lawrence Fishburne, like, he was on Blackish before he was on Hannibal. He was on CSI. Like, he's done TV. Carrie Ann Moss, of course, is on Jessica Jones, and she pops up on, like, the other Netflix shows. Hugo Weaving is, like, he works on it. I doubt money's an issue between Matrix checks and Lord of the Rings checks, because kind of like, you know, and Transformers checks. So it's like, yeah, he can basically do whatever he wants to do if he wants to do it. So I don't think casting will be an issue. I think it's kind of like they've expanded the show enough, especially with the second movie, where you can just tell all these various stories in that universe.
Yeah.
And it's like, just think about, like, it's a New York City where, like, half the city are assassins and you never see cops. Like, beside, like, one that's like, you know, oh, it's a gas leak? Okay, I'll let you to it. Like, that's it. And it's that funny thing where, you know, it's like a lot of action movies and, like, especially comic movies, a lot of times you don't see the cops.
You always hear the sirens. And you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, but
yeah. You only see the cops when it's like they're like, you only see the cops when it's like vigilante type superhero movies, or like the movie involves cops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other than that, it's kind of like, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, be no evil. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that show, you know, when it pops up. It's amazing. When I remember when the first John Wick came out and people kept talking about, like, you know, you got to see this movie, and it's like, okay. And now it got from that to where we are now. Like, people, like, this one is coming out in the summertime, which is the first for the John Wick movies. Like, the first one came out like in the fall, second one came out in, like, you know, winter, like February.
Yes,
so
February.
This one coming out
Valentine's,
like,
weekend.
What, like May? Yeah, so this one coming out like around what, May? It's like, yeah, if they're gonna go out with a bang and then have the show there. It's like, we just so spoiled with, like, stuff we can watch and see. Like, I think about the stuff I've seen, like, that's on my DVR I haven't watched. I just think about the CW shows, and we can end on a CW show. I remember, we talked about last week, I remember people were complaining, like, you know, when they said Black Lightning wasn't part of the DC Universe. Yeah,
it can't be.
It cannot be. Like, it's just such a disconnect. I lost my mind, laughed my ass off when Tobias Well was giving that speech about thick lips, scratching where you don't itch.
Uh-huh.
Needles. Yeah, and I'm like, this is a CW show. And the funny thing is, I was reading about it, it was like, yeah, this is the toned down speech. Like, originally it was a lot worse. We had to tone it down to fit, you know, the let us do this. And I'm like, if this is the toned down one, what was the original, like, what was the original one? Like, it came out like saying, like, you know, are you, I didn't know you was racist. Like, nah, I ain't racist. I just can't, like you shifty Negroes. I want you to do better. And it's a funny thing where it plays in a cult, like, it's a black show. The basically, like, and you can tell black people work on the show because the way the show is written, it's no way a white writer would know how to write that and have it sound authentic without it being cringeworthy. Like, it was harsh and it was real and it's meant to be, because there's a lot of that goes on. But that's something kind of like, if you're not in that community or in that universe, you'd have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way this show does an awesome job that I wish the other shows did, because we talked about, like, you know, Oliver Queen's the mayor. Like, Oliver Queen's the mayor, the Flash, I was talking about, you know, I'll protect the city and stuff like that. But it's like, they don't feel like they actually live in a city. Like, how many times you see them, like, out and about doing city stuff? They always feel like they're living in, like, some apartment condo, or they live in the suburbs, and this isn't a city to fight crime. The rest of the time, it's like, if I'm not going to work or getting the coffee, the city is just a background. This show makes the city a thing, so everything has consequence. Like, even, like, last night's show, you know, the lady comes out saying, you know, Black Lightning, he said, we'll be saving stuff. How come we just save these two girls? What about my girls? And
all right, that
he's
whole,
like,
scene, that was,
what
do
you
say? What,
like,
her,
what,
name? Sorry, I just totally derailed you.
I can't even remember her name, but, like, that whole scene is like, you don't get stuff like, it's showing kind of like, you know, stuff has consequences. And it made this whole episode see reinforced, like, actions have consequences. And, like, you know, that whole thing where she went out and did what she was going to do, even though everybody was like, you know, it's not going to end well for you, and she didn't care. And, you know, she set up her phone, like, she come out to talk to Lala. He plugs her.
That,
like, ain't no wasting around. Like, boom, just like 3-4 shots. I'm like, damn, this is, I'm not used to that on the CW.
And the thing is, the violence of it was just matter of fact. Well, no, it was Lala. Did he kill her first, or did he kill his own cousin first?
He killed his cousin first.
Okay, so he I mean, they kind of showed it, but he executed his own cousin.
It, yeah,
like, the violence in this, it's not Diggle getting almost blown up on an island and having the shakes, and they put a microchip and he's fine. This is a guy murdering his own cousin and having his cronies throw him in the trunk to get rid of him. And then this lady just gets in his face and shoots her in the chest dead. Like, this is real world. I'll hesitate to say real world, but it's certainly grounded in reality way more than the other ones are. And you're right. And I was thinking the same thing watching this, going, this is to stay on its own. Or how about they introduce some other characters that'll have this tone? Because you already know I'm down on some of the other shows. And maybe this show is not helping that either.
Yeah, and the whole interact with him and his ex-wife and Gambi, and it's kind of like one side, like she's like, you know what? I just want my husband back. He did this stuff. He almost died, and I just want to be a regular man. And then he's like, he's not a regular man. Like, he's got a gift, and it's kind of like, you know, you hold him. He could do more help than just being a principal, even though it's funny, like, him being a principal, he tried to be a principal, and they treat him like, you know, he's a big deal in the city. Everybody Black knows Jesus. Him, respects him, anything like that. Yeah, Black Jesus. And then even then, it's like, he's talking to these goons, and they punch him like, you know, he just wants to electrocute every one of them. Like, yes. But he's got to hold it back, and it's kind of like holding in that rage to when you can express it, you can really express it. And it's funny how they play that, and it's funny how people react, because it's not like, you can see both point of views, like him trying to be a hero because he's like, you know, I try to do this other way and it's not working. And Gambi's kind of like, you know, he's not a normal person. He's not a regular person. He's a gift. How he's not going to use this gift is like, it's a waste. And her thing is kind of like, you know, he's addicted to like being his hero stuff. And you wasn't around when he's bleeding half to death and I got to patch him up and lie to my daughters about why is daddy always hurt. Like, she's got a point. It's funny thinking about how comic fans look at it, because certain fans go like, you know, She-Hulk and Black, you know, it's the whole, I call it the Skylar thing. Why can't she let him be him? She holding him back, and it's like, yeah, but she got a point. She's his wife. She's the mother of his children. She's got a, you know, she's looking at her husband almost killing himself for like a hopeless, like, you know, okay, you arrested a few people, you beat up a couple of guys. What did it solve? And the other shows and comics in general, they don't really show like that part. They always play it off like, you know, it's a woman preventing him from being great type thing. This one is kind of like, you can see everybody's point of view. You can even see the, like, Tobias Wellfield. Like, when he kills Lala's, like, you know what? You kill, like, you know, you just shot this, like, she's a mother. Like, if you do that, you do almost anything, including snitching on me. I'm going to strangle you.
So here's one thing that I noticed that they didn't really get into. And I wonder if it'll be addressed later. So Black Lightning goes, finds Lala. The cops show up. And there was a line in there when he says, I can't remember the captain's or lieutenant's name, that he said, yeah, your boys tipped us off to where you were. You know, they turned on you. Well, here's Black Lightning going in and getting in the way of the cops doing, like, I'm really hoping the lieutenant doesn't turn out to be on Tobias's payroll, because you already saw some of the cops were. And
yeah,
but you saw, like, he kept telling Jefferson, hey, just take it easy. We're doing this. We're going to get him. And they actually did.
Yeah.
And he was interfering with it. So I'm wondering if that's going to be a theme later, to like, if he messes up, or like they finally go, hey, listen, get out of the way. Which...
But it's funny how they handle, because it's kind of like the cops have a certain way treating them. And I like that, yeah, and I like how they put the point of, like, you know, when he wears his glasses, it does something to kind of like hide his identity. Like, it's some electrical thing that's going on. So it makes more sense. Like, his daughters look at this big black dude and it's like, oh, that's daddy dressing up. So at least they kind of like gave a reason why that didn't happen. But I did laugh, like, you know, they don't treat Black Lightning like he's a goon or anything like that. It's like Black Lightning's a hero. Like, oh, Black Lightning, my man.
Doesn't it remind you of Shaft or Dolomite or something like that?
Like, the guy, like, who am I looking for? Fifth floor room 507. Yep. Like, they snitched on him with a quickness because, like, you know, yeah. Like, Black Lightning's like the urban hero that's, yes, like, loved in the community. And and I got to say this, whoever's in charge of the music,
oh
man,
it's really good.
The music is so awesome. On, like, it's one. It's the show's been on two episodes, and I love this show so much. And before the show came on, I was kind of like, I don't know, like, skeptical, but it's like I wasn't really excited. It was like, you know, I mean, I was just kind of like, how can they handle it? Because it just seemed like, you know, in the wrong hands, the show could easily be corny or be trash. But the fact that CW is basically letting them, like, you know, go all out. Like, it's not a comic show with black people. It's a black show with comic characters. Like, and it's a difference. And they are embracing it. And, like, you know, I saw the previews for next week. I see Jill Scott showing. Like, I think Jill Scott's eventually going to show up. Because it's funny where you think Lala's going to be this big-time part of the series. Two episodes in, he out of there. Like, they not wasting time. And they, like, keeping it moving. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching this. And I know one thing, and I'll say this, because they have done it. The other shows will pay attention to this. They got to step the game up. Because it's like, now it's like, you know, before, like, it's on the network. Like, you know, the Netflix shows made them step up their fight scenes. Because you notice when Daredevil came out, all of a sudden, fight scenes on Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got a lot better. Because, like, oh, okay, we can't do what we did before because people saw Daredevil's, like, they expect a higher level of, like, quality when it comes to this. Yeah, you can't be doing that same old nonsense when you got Black Lightning on there on the same network. And not like they got extra fun or anything like that. It's like they can do it, and it's not like they necessarily, like, you know, action directors or action showrunner. If they can pull it off, they're going to be looking at you like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. What you doing?
And we got to wrap up, but I want to get into this sometime about how CW can change this up anyways, but maybe next week unless something huge happens. Yeah, I can't recommend Black Lightning any more than I, you know, that we 2 weeks in a row, we don't really do that. Like, 2 weeks in a row, talk about the same show. Yeah. We haven't done that in a long time, actually.
Yeah. But,
yeah, it's just...
Normally we don't.
No. We haven't talked about Flash or any of that stuff in a couple weeks, but...
Yeah. Like, normally we'll talk about it, like, after, like, a month or when it comes back from hiatus or, like, a season review or, like, a something is new. But the fact that we talked about, like, 2 weeks in a row, and it's like, that shows the impact of the show. Like, the acting's awesome. The writing's feel like everyone's realistic. And you remember, before we go, the way they played the relationship with the daughter and her girlfriend, they just played it, like, matter-of-factly. Like, and it's just, and, like, the parents just acknowledge it like it was no big deal. And it's like,
that's what I was going to ask you, actually.
Even with CW, like, it wasn't exploitive. They didn't put a spotlight on it. They just had, like, you know, she's a girl. That's a girlfriend. They're talking like how people, that's a couple, talk. They interact in that way. They feel like real people. And especially, like, one, a comic show doing that. Two, a black show doing that. Because a lot of times it is not handled like that or that delicately. So the fact that they done it and everyone just accepted, matter of fact, and they didn't put, like, you know, a Saturday afternoon special thing on, is like, wow, the show feels real. Like, and that's the biggest compliment I can give a show, is kind of like, it feels like real people doing real things.
Here's where I'm going to differ with you in one respect. I don't think that the parents know, and the only reason I'm saying that is He said to the wife, hey, the wife said to him, I'm having a hard time with daughter's names. She's on the roof, you know, like she always is, thinking I don't know. And then the other one's at her girlfriend's, and they both don't know the girlfriend's name. They said they've been a couple for a while.
Yeah, so, but she
that's
pointed,
what I'm wondering is if
I like
if they think it's just like her girlfriend, like her friend, and that may actually come into play later. Just as like a story element.
I like how they point out, because the girlfriend said itself was kind of like, you know, we've been together all this time. Mm-hmm. How come I ain't meet your family yet?
Yeah,
like she playing it off like it's like one's looking at it like it's a serious thing. The other one's kind of like, you know, it's a casual thing. Even the girl even made a comment like, you know, what, you a player, your cat daddy or something? Like, what's going on? Is this just like, you know, you just knocking me off twice a week, or are we doing a thing? Like, they played it like a relationship thing. And it was funny where if it was a heterosexual one, it's like, okay, he's just a, like, you know, he's just a playboy or anything like that. He's not doing something serious. You don't normally see that with, like, gay ones on TV like that, especially in, like, a superhero show. Mm-hmm. Unless they're playing it as a joke, or they're playing it for laughs. So it felt like, you know, she's in a relationship. She didn't tell her parents about it. Not because she's ashamed. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's serious. And it's this whole thing with a lot of times in black families, you don't bring people home to the crib unless it's serious. You just ain't bringing anybody to, like, the cookout, so to speak.
All right. All right, gang, if we haven't enticed you enough on Black Lightning, it's whatever. So, thanks for listening. Follow us all social media, Stunt Granny, Twitter, same thing. I'm Granny Maze. I've been doing 80s horror movies into the 70s. I'm in the middle of one called The Mutilator, or if you start the movie, it's actually called Fall Break. They had to change the name from Fall Break to Mutilator because they didn't want to confuse people that it was a beach movie. It's a beach movie where people die. There's that. So, you can see, I was just suggested again by a different app, the same Blood Orgy of the She-Devils, which was a total disappointment. And so you can follow me on that. That's all I really use it for besides promoting the show. I'm out of here, and talk to you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidul Hadi, and go Eagles. See you in the Super Bowl. We are out.